Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That's right. We're talking everything William Carey Athletics, from the field to the court and the diamond. And man, we've got just about every athletics group to talk about, from baseball. We've got soccer, basketball's now started their season. Volleyball still going strong. Got a big fight to the postseason before they have SSAC tournament play. And hey, we could even start off with the one that's furthest out in softball and baseball, Josh, to start off the show. SSAC preseason number ones for both of them.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, you know, baseball is your forte, Caleb, and so in terms of personnel and the numbers and returners and signees, you're locked in there. But for me, for softball, this was a group that, you know, I knew needed to replace a lot of position players, move some players around, had some players that were capable, that have been role players in recent years. But when you're returning all conference performers back inside the circle, team ERA under two, they just don't give up runs. And so if they're able to bring in some bats, bring in some transfers, and kind of shuffle things up a little bit, the inability to score runs was what has held them back from getting to the World Series in recent years. If they can score a few more runs, we know they're going to be good inside this circle. And so it's not shocking to me at all that softball is right there at the top of the league.
Yeah, and I'll look forward to hearing from Coach Hallford soon about all the different guys he's getting into the program, and also a new replacement on the coaching staff since Ben Smith is now full-time in the athletic department office. And so have a lot more baseball news coming down the pike as we continue on in the offseason for them. To kind of look at it chronologically through the last week, let's begin with soccer, as William Carey men and women on Halloween afternoon, kind of morning/afternoon for those, got wins. And that's the biggest thing as they move forward from the quarterfinals to Montgomery for the final four in each of those classes of men and women. As it looked like the tournament went all chalk except for the 4-5 in the men's side of things, where UT Southern was able to win in PKs in their matchup. And so with that, that'll be how it sets up. Mobile will play UT Southern at 4:30 in Montgomery. Dalton State plays William Carey. That's men's soccer action. And the women will play with UT Southern versus Mobile, the 1-4 at 11 a.m., and then Carey versus Life, the 2-3 at 1:30. And to start us off with a little bit of soccer conversation, we're going to bring Clayton Rush in here. Clayton, I know you spent a little time there on your lunch break taking in a little William Carey soccer. Two different styles of games. You had the Dalton State and William Carey game for the women's side that was ended up being a pretty decent result for the girls, 6-1, but it was not entirely easy early on, and then all of a sudden you go to the guys' match, and whew, what it was quite honestly a struggle win. But how would you assess where you thought Carey would be coming into these matches compared to how they finished?
Yeah, I think, for the ladies, they were definitely favored in that one and took care of business like they needed to. You saw in the regular season, that was kind of one of those two games, the Dalton State game and the Life game, were kind of those two games that knocked them out of contention for that regular season championship, like we talked about, with only getting a 3-1 win, so that 2-goal differential kind of hurting them there. So I think that 6-1 win last week was a big statement win for the conference, and I think it was a confidence booster for the girls as well, kind of gave them that confidence to see and show themselves that they could take care of business against a team that, maybe played them a little bit closer earlier on in the regular season. And I think that just kind of goes to show, too, that the girls are playing some of their best soccer as of late, which is what you want to see. You want to see them, playing their best soccer come postseason time. So I think the girls are, really primed and ready for that semifinal matchup with Life. It's another team that, they obviously got the win against in the regular season, but, they kind of want to see that game get played out a little differently and not keep it as close, right? And so I really like what I saw from the girls this past week. For the guys, you definitely saw Faulkner come out strong. You saw Faulkner get that early goal and take a 1-0 lead. And I think that definitely woke the guys up and got them ready to play. They might not have really been expecting that from Faulkner. You kind of look at the way that game was being played right at the beginning, but, you know, settled the game down, made a big, you know, a line change of substitutions, brought in some physicality, some energy, and, took care of business at the end of the day. So it was a good win for the guys as well.
Yeah, I feel like I was unintentionally going tongue in cheek saying that the girls started off slow. You know, they take a 2-0 lead after, you know, 11 minutes of play. But when you sit down and expect a William Carey women's soccer program to come out there, and Josh, I'll get your thoughts on this, you know, going only up 2-0 at the half really makes it feel like a game's in flux.
Well, we've had numerous discussions about this, Caleb, about the need for Carey's women's soccer to be better in terms of being more clinical in front of goal. They have had so many opportunities, and they're so, in terms of one-on-one matchups, everywhere you looked on the pitch on Thursday, they were winning every one-on-one matchup. Okay, so you're winning those matchups, you're getting opportunities, you've got to find the back of the net. And they just haven't been doing that to the level that they've needed to. Even in that 26-0 rout of Abraham Baldwin Agricultural, there were 46 shots on goal, 69 shots. They put in 26 of those. So even in that, you could be left going, okay, we could still execute better. And I mean, that's got to be a picture next to the definition of nitpicky, right? But it's just the standard that they hold themselves to. And, you know, after coming off a year where they don't lose and then fall in PKs of the national championship, then they end up having the same record, no losses and a tie in the regular season of the Southern States, and don't win a conference championship. That's got to be all the motivation that would ever possibly be needed. And that carried over. I went and talked to Christina after the game. I went and talked to Zalma after the game. And I said, hey, I noticed it was noticeable that there was no celebration after those goals. And they said, no celebration.
It was so nonchalant.
No celebration until we get to, I believe you would see some, I think, final sight. Till they get to the final sight, but this is a marathon for them. They plan on going a long way in this tournament, and they plan on winning a national championship. That is the goal. So literally, and Clayton, this was, you'll find this an amusing story. I don't know if I told you this. The concession stand workers did not know that Carey was up 2-0 at the half. Why? Because there was no celebration. It was an early game. Fans were still wrapping up finals. Students were still wrapping up finals. When I say fans, a lot of fans were at work. But because of the lack of celebration, they didn't even know that Carey was leading. That is how just locked in and focused this group is right now. And so if they clean up a few things, if they continue to stay and gain consistency in goal, if they're consistent in their back, the back end defensively with their backs, there's no question that they can chase another national championship.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, the girls are really all business right now. I think you saw that in that game. And you've really kind of seen it the last couple of games too. They've really been locked in, you know, since that kind of regular season upset, so to speak, or, you know, finding out that they were out of the running for the regular season championship. I think you've kind of seen them really kind of refocus, and it's been really fun to watch.
All right, so as Carey takes on life yet again, just looking back, last time they faced one another was in Marietta, Georgia. Carey took the win 2-1. That was one of those matchups that ended up kind of costing Carey the title this year because of the point differential. Life and Dalton State were two of those that Carey did not win by 3 or more. And so with that, Carey gets to rematch with them on a neutral site this time, and we'll see if they make it to the SSAC championship game. Men's side, just kind of looking back at that matchup, you pointed it out, Clayton. Carey was down 1-0 early in the 10th minute. Maldonado for the Eagles score. And at that point, you know, Carey had a couple bad swings as far as different players getting hurt or guys not being effective. You saw a huge host of different guys checking in for Coach Farrell, including Agboku, Billy Bogue. I believe Luka Brandich eventually made his way on the pitch as well. Just a handful of guys all subbing in at the same time just to get a little bit of an extra boost of energy or something. Coach Farrell mentioned a little bit of finals with it being the end of the trimester contributing, but also Jamie Winn getting injured. And that really kind of took out a couple of your forwards. Winn with the injury, Colby Godbolt just kind of in a headspace that maybe just wasn't ready for this game today. But when all said and done, Billy Bogue steps in.
Yeah, Billy Bogue was player of the game, and he's been playing really well over the last couple of matches, I think. He's struggled to kind of get his goal in certain moments, but he's come on and played really important minutes over the course of some really important matches here late in the season. And so, you know, you expect that from a fifth-year senior and, you know, the leadership that he brings. He's a, you know, obviously really vocal player on the pitch, but off on the sidelines as well, just super, super vocal, always cheering the guys on. So, yeah, you love to see him getting his goals and contributing. And, yeah, those were two fantastic goals against Faulkner, and they were much needed because, yeah, like you said, they were just kind of struggling to get what they really needed out of their first 11.
So, Kerry's next match on the slate is a game with Dalton State, one that Kerry lost 2-1 earlier this season on the road at Dalton. Always tough to play them on at their place. And then also, they're just always an aggressive team, and it really came down to a questionable penalty kick given to Dalton State there in one of the last 5 minutes of the contest. Maybe it was last 10, somewhere in the 80s as far as a minute left or a minute of the game. And so you really feel like these two are fairly even, just kind of depends on health of guys, mentality, and how they play on a neutral site. What stands out to you, Clayton, before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, number one team in the country, so you know, obviously they're going to have a target on their back no matter who plays them. But you know, Dalton State are not unbeatable. They've drawn twice in the SSAC regular season. I believe it was to Life and Thomas. And then Kerry played them really, really close to that PK. Like you mentioned, that was the 85th minute where that PK was called. And so Kerry were right there in the mix. Dalton State is a team can win all day. And so you just have to embrace the matchup and give it everything you've got. And then you've got to think that, you know, with a win against Dalton State and a chance to play back in the conference tournament championship game, that you know you're playing for RPI as well, so you're playing for you know, higher RPI to get a chance to host in the national tournament as well. So there's just a lot going on there with that on the line.
Yeah, hoping Kerry makes it to the championship game to hopefully kind of lock in one of those top 16 seeds to be a regional host site. We expect the women to already host, but hoping that we have a lot of games there at Danny Owens Field for the final time this year with women's soccer and men's soccer going on. That's at least our
hope. Absolutely.
All right, Clayton, well, we're going to let you go. Thanks for joining us here on a busy evening for you. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All right.
Hey, Caleb, I want to chime in there as well about men's soccer. This is a men's soccer team. You mentioned the lineup changes and Bo coming in and being so effective, playing the ball in the air, so good of just making plays, right? Just knows how to finish, just has a feel for the game. That group, that second group, if you will, I hate to call it a second group. Kerry's got so much depth this year, but the group that's coming off the bench, I would expect that group to come off the bench. I would expect the same type starters that we saw on Thursday to get another opportunity. But if the struggles continue, it would not shock me to see a really if the bench players would come in, play well again, and Kerry would win, pull the upset, get to the finals, would not surprise me to see a different lineup in the championship if they're fortunate enough to get there.
Yeah, and just a final note on men's soccer. You and I talked about it on the broadcast on Thursday, but we'll bring it out here too. We had talked about Jack Greenwood a week ago on the pod, and we had kind of had musings about whether or not he would continue his red shirt, just kind of lock himself out of the postseason. That is the early indication now that Jack Greenwood will sit out the rest of the year and maintain his eligibility for a full season next year, which would conclude his William Carey career. So at least now that is his plan. We will see if anything changes with the forwards that play for William Carey. I mean, there was a point in the game where Jukovic, Godbolt, and Jamie Winn were all off the pitch. And so who knows, out of necessity, it could be one of those things where if Kerry's in a tough spot there towards the end of the postseason, trying to get that final push for a national championship, who knows? I do think, though, that once the postseason starts, you have to set your official roster. And if that's the case, I think you would have to have him on it already. And I don't even know if having him on the roster automatically makes him ineligible for another season or not. I'd have to double check the rule book. But I do think once you set that postseason roster, you're locked in as far as who you can play for the rest of the year. So I don't know.
I'm pulling for Jack Greenwood to be the basically team press secretary next year. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would be great to have a full season of Jack Greenwood, but at the same time, selfishly, there's so much talent on this team. I'm not saying you got to put all your chips in one basket or put all your eggs in one basket and count on that and Jack Greenwood playing to make it an actual national championship team, but that thought just kind of lingers in the back of your head. I don't know. All right, so as we move on, let's kind of talk a little bit about swimming, because we can knock this out real quick, and then we can get to some of the conversation about what you saw this weekend with basketball, Josh. And it was another great week for Coach Gonzalez and the men's and women's swimming teams. They've already got a conference win on the road at Thomasville, Georgia. This past week, they went and swam at Loyola and come away with wins again. So second conference win for both men and women. And get this. Now, I'm not too privy on how all the scoring stuff happens in the world of swimming, but men dominated 142 to 113 in their Saturday meet. But the women's team edged out the Wolfpack 113 to 110. Yeah, that's a basketball game. I think it translates pretty well to how close that one truly was. But all in all, terrific outing for both the men's and women's swim team. And hey, how about a first year season already making waves like this? No pun intended.
I'm listening to you talk about this, Caleb, but I'm going, success breeds success. I mean, this is case in point. When you're talking about this swim team coming in to such a storied program that was the fifth best athletic department, in terms of the point system of all of the sports tallied together, assigned points based on finishes nationally, and then Kerry was fifth out of over 200 teams, could have very easily captured the Director's Cup. Swimming comes in year one. High expectations, but yet no expectations. I know that sounds funny, but it's like, get them now because they're going to establish their home. Facilities are going to improve. Recruiting's going to get better. The word's going to get out. There aren't a lot of opportunities for really good swimmers in the state of Mississippi and the surrounding areas. There aren't just a ton of those opportunities. And just a tremendous hats off to the Kerry coaching staff to be able to come in and knock off programs that have had, if not one, if not many years ahead in terms of the development of their programs. And that's got to be psychologically difficult. It's like, wait a minute, we've been losing to Kerry to everything else. They have a first-year swimming program, and they're beating us in swimming. I love it. It's just dominance. And it starts to get in your head. I mean, we know that that Kerry uniform carries some weight to it, right? We think of other teams, there's certain teams in the NFL or in college football or whatever it is, that jersey walks out on the court or the diamond or the gridiron, and it there's an intimidation factor there. And right now, I think Kerry's got a little bit of that swagger going, don't you think?
I definitely do. And we look forward to hopefully catching up with Coach Gonzalez later down the road. Next meet for the swim team will be on November 22nd. They'll go back to Delta State again for another in-state matchup. I don't think they're going to have the full gambit of Meridian and Mississippi College there this time, but still it'll be good to see a William Kerry swim team with now three meets under their belt to face the Statesmen yet again. So that's a look at swimming and what's up next for soccer. Now we kind of turn our attention to, Josh, your favorite sport, as you got to go on the road to Faulkner and caught a little basketball action. Coach Knight and Coach English getting wins this weekend. But simply put, it didn't come too easy on either side, at least for that first game. You had a lot of fun out there, I'd say.
I did, man. I don't think I've ever, and no, I've never, okay, let's not try to just play it politically correct, PC. I have never had a, you know, game one, day one of the season, where at the end of that broadcast, I'm almost hoarse. That happened. I was so tired and so hungry. Happy, mind you, good tired, happy tired, ready to change clothes and go get something to eat. But those were two incredible games. The ladies picked up a 69-65 win. There were, in that game, 10 ties, 12 lead changes. And it took it came down to the final series where finally Rose Warren got a steal with 0.2 seconds left. She was able to hit two free throws to ice that game away. So the ball was on the block, basically in the short corner right of the key, when Rose was able to team up with, I believe that might have been Leah Sutton, was one of the ones that got in there, maybe somewhat turned the ball handler into Rose. Rose was able to cleanly get in, get two hands to the ball, and then, you know, be able to rip it away cleanly. Thought she was going to tie her up. Instead, ripped it away cleanly and then had to be fouled and then made two free throws, took out the drama late. And then the guys come out against Cumberland. So the ladies defeated Stillman. Guys come out against Cumberland. Cumberland played in the toughest league in the country last year. They only won six games. They went 6-21. But the interesting note here, their coach, second-year interim coach, don't think I've ever seen that, a second-year interim head coach. So that was another first. And Coach Eric had them playing very well. They come out and hit six of their first seven shots. Repeatedly in the broadcast, I said we were down 16. I went back and looked at the play-by-play, and it was one of those, they don't call them phantom memories. What's one of those memories that you think is real, but it wasn't real?
I know there's the Mandela effect, but I
yes,
know.
That's what okay. It was. We were down 14 instead of 16. Nevertheless, we got down 14 at that point. We ended up being down 15. So 15 was our largest deficit at 39-24. And I kept saying multiple times in the first half, hey, if we're down around a handful at the half, we're going to be feeling really good. Because, I mean, they came out shooting nearly 85%, six of their first seven, jumped on us early, had five threes maybe midway through the first half. Everything was going in, just ripping the rim off the backboard, thunderous dunks, putbacks, you name it. And you know, that game's at Cumberland. I don't know if you come back from that. But Kerry was able to get going a little bit offensively later in that half, and then they started making shots. That energy faded from Cumberland. It was a six-point game at the half. Kerry had a chance to tie it, didn't, and Kerry then had to use and did use an 11-0 run to tie the game. Had a chance to take the lead again with Brumfield at the line. Misses a front end of the 1-1. Kerry goes down again by a couple of points, but then some big threes. They go up four, and then they just keep, you know, they get up, they get a little taste of a lead, then they go up five, then they go up seven, then they go up, and they ended up pushing that out to a 13-point win. That was a big win. And you talk about making tons of plays down the stretch. This is a group that Coach Knight wants to average, okay, Caleb, average 90 points a game. This is a group that right now, you laugh.
I do.
They have nine players dressed out right now, but it's a nine-player rotation. Of those nine players, you had all nine score. You had five or six in double figures. I know you had seven with nine or more points, and everybody that played in the game had at least 5 points.
So when you break it down, you have nine players. You would have to average double figures for each of the nine players, basically. Well,
but you're going to add at least another 2 to 3 players that'll get significant minutes. You know, it's going to be kind of a situation where different players on certain nights aren't going to get a ton of minutes depending on the matchups. and depending who's got the hot hand, because you could see a situation where Carey's playing 13 players tonight. So Emil Kazanasis still got to come back. Caden Laws is battling a back injury. They've got two players that are battling back injuries. So this is a group that legitimately, all these guys they brought in, whether it's from Meridian or Holmes or wherever they came from, these were guys that won championships, Gulf Coast. They were their team's leading scorer. You got guys that can flat out score, shoot the basketball, are tough, gritty. This is a veteran group. They've played a lot of basketball. They may not have played a lot of basketball together as a unit at Carey, but they are a veteran group. Coach Burt says this old group. Josh, this old group is how he refers to them. And they are. And so they got down in the first half, and they just kept chipping away. They're like, okay, look, hey, guys, we're only down, you know, at one point, maybe down 9. Guys, they're shooting at 70%. We're shooting it at, you know, 30%, and we're down single digits.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Okay. I was listening to it, and I was trying to get a little game prep ahead of my Friday night football game, and then also you know, doing a little bit of work sprinkled in there too. And I'll be honest, I kind of tuned out after Carey went down so early and may have even turned it off for a little bit before I got in the car headed to my game. And you know, I text you at some point and said, man, you know, great girls game earlier today. And you said, hey, guys game is getting even better right now. And I'm like, wait, what? And turn it on. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It is getting better.
No, it was incredible. It was, that's what I'm saying. Going back to the horse, right?
Yeah.
And
you sounded fine, by the way.
It was, yeah, I could feel it after the game. And, that was just a lot of fun, you know. And again, it went kind of as I kind of thought. If they kept it close, weathered the storm early, then when you start hitting some shots, and Cumberland's energy fell off a cliff, and you have a situation with a team that had some key pieces returning from last year, guys like Brumfield, guys like Harrelson and Kerryon Gross, guys that won some ball games last year, had been in a lot of those types of games and won. Then on the other bench, you had a lot of guys that had been competitive and had played in some, you know, tough games, but they don't know how to win. They don't know how to close out games. They had all of that energy, all of that adrenaline early, and it wore off. And just hats off, you know, Coach Knight. It was a lot of fun for PJ and Eric and Coach Knight and that staff and those players to be able to experience that comeback and to do that in the first game and then to follow it up the following day with the win over Payne College, and you score 107 points and you completely dominate and you win by 30 plus. And then the ladies, again, when pushed, they had a 14-point lead in the second quarter. It diminishes. They go down 6 late. And then when they had to start making plays because they were running out of time, Coach English's squad, who returns essentially everybody but Lauren Rowley, got multiple players back, signed more good players off the coast and elsewhere. They have so many players, another good problem to have, they can't get everybody minutes every game. They made plays when they had to. And they pulled out a win over a Rust team that, depending on the year, wins their league and is in the top 25.
And they were 28-4 last year, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, to go and to play quality competition, get two wins that felt like road wins. I know they were neutral, but they felt like road wins because you were far enough away. Carey had their normal contingent, right? Had some family and friends that were there to cheer on the team, but that was a, you know, road/neutral win because there were some Faulkner fans that would trickle in early, and because of good old conference rivalry, sometimes you're certainly not getting them cheering for you, right? The Faulkner fans were having fun with us on the way out, the student section. Hey, we're going to beat y'all later. And I said, man, isn't that great? That's what makes it good, right? Conference rivalries. And they were getting some fist bumps. I was talking to them, and it was all good. But I love the league. I love the competitiveness of the league, especially on the men's side. Coach Knight talked about that a lot in our post game. And then for the ladies, this is their league to go get. I mean, this is theirs for the taking. They were preseason pick number 2 by one single solitary vote, 1 point. So I think they can use that as a little motivation, a little chip on their shoulder. But they were round of 32 last year. I would think the goal is Sweet 16 this year. Sweet 16 plus, right?
Yeah. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this as a little springboard into a topic that you and I were thinking about addressing tonight. And that's kind of our way too early predictions as far as basketball, women and men. So you've kind of alluded to it already. You think that for the women's team, obviously their goal would be to get further than they did last year and, you know, hopefully get exponentially further. But at the same time, you know, stalled out against a tough, what was it, Campbellsville they played last year.
Sure.
And you know, that was a tough venue to play in, tough officiating crew as well. We could talk about that for an entire podcast again if we want to.
Sure.
But this team, I mean, when you look at historic teams that win championships, a lot of the times, man, it ends up being recipes just like this one. A huge contingent of returning players, a couple added pieces that, you know, really push you up that next ladder rung. Where do you think is the ceiling for this team?
Ceiling for this team.
You can be rose glasses or not. You know, you can be real.
This is where I've got to be honest and say I just don't know enough about the rest of the league in the country, right? Because it just doesn't get – there's not as much write-up about it. There's not as much hype about it. And I just frankly haven't had as much chance to dig in and do a lot of research to it. But I'll say this, because of where Cary plays – Cary runs into some teams that provide them some matchup nightmares. You know, weekend one, Stillman and Rust are so athletic, get up and down the floor, press, kind of run and gun, if you will. Cary is so good inside. You know, they dominated the glass against Rust. And that's why when you get to the postseason, these Midwestern teams, teams throughout Kentucky and in that kind of part of the country, Cary matches up very well. I mean, Cary was just a couple of possessions away from pulling an upset, getting to the Sweet 16 against the number three team in the country. If they can stay healthy, if they can continue to develop, if their bigs stay healthy, if they can develop some depth. If you remember this, Caleb, when Cary had, struggles, when they were still piecing it together early, they had not settled in on Rose Warren at point guard. They settled in as Rose Warren as their starting point guard, and everything changed, right?
It did.
That's when everything kind of found its way. And now you've got some players that were in larger roles at the beginning of last year that have found their new roles, have locked into their roles on this team as having their moments and when called upon, doing their thing. But Ladner's better. Sutton's better. Garriga's better. Blakeney's back. Cuevas is better. Corpus is Corpus. Needs to get a little bit more consistent, making those bunnies around the rim. Needs to finish at a little higher percentage around the rim. Not much, just a little bit. She'll miss some easy ones and make some incredibly tough ones, and she needs to be a little more consistent at the free throw line.
Now, you're talking about Daedra Cuevas, because we also now have a second one of no relation, Brooklyn Cuevas from Hancock.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yes, Dede Cuevas is improved. Brooklyn Cuevas didn't get any minutes on Friday and might have gotten just a couple of minutes. I haven't even glanced at that box score in depth. Might have gotten a couple of minutes on Saturday, but I'll have to go back and look. I'll know that by Wednesday's broadcast when I do the research for that. But, there's another shooter from the coast. There's another shooter out of that great Hancock High School pipeline, a program that loses one game a year, and they have for like the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, they have like 5 losses in 5 years. They're so good. So recruiting's been great. Just a testament to Coach English, Coach Garriga in particular, and that staff and what they do. And they've created such a great program. They've got just such good chemistry within that group. Very low-key, very quiet, very business-like. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. They're not bouncing around. They just go about their business in warm-ups, and therefore, it's very hard to get them rattled. You can try to speed them up. There'll be segments of the game where they may struggle, but typically you don't see that extended because they take a timeout, they get a sip of water, they refocus, and they're right back at it. So I think Sweet 16 plus for this team is a realistic goal for this team. And conference championship, you know, I don't want to say I expect that, but I expect them to be in that 1-2 spot. I certainly expect them to be in one of those two spots. Then on the men's side, they would love to get Caden Laws back. How much can Emil Cazeneza contribute? How much can some of the other newcomers contribute consistently? Randarius Hughes, Spanky is his nickname, probably the best nickname of anybody in the league. How much can he, as a big physical 6'6 post presence, how much can he contribute? He can be a really big factor to this team. Jamar Jenkins, guard out of Holmes Community College, played for Jason Flanagan. He gets eligible this week. His first game should be just here in a couple of days over at Talladega. Had to get all of his transcript stuff in and all of his classes cleared and everything like that. He's a lefty point guard that never is always on 100, always wide open, never takes a playoff. So he's going to push guys for minutes. You could see him as a starter, which provides even more depth. So, I mean, this is a legit 10, 11, 12-guy deep roster for Coach Knight if they're healthy. But certainly keep, you know, Caden Laws in your prayers. Keep those guys that are battling those back injuries in your prayers because, and for example, Caden, he's got to have a procedure, then go through physical therapy, and if that doesn't work, then he's looking at surgery, and then he's out for the year. So they would love to get – hope that everything goes well with Caden, physical therapy goes well, and then they get him back later in the season.
Yeah, he was such a good player last year. I think about his buzzer beater he had against Thomas and several other plays where he was such a big factor in helping Kerry come out and close out ball games. So you really want to see him come back as a returning Crusader basketball member.
But sure.
I like the assessment there. I really do think, for me, one of the big things that Kerry has to do differently in basketball is just tournament play. In addition to how they get through the regular season, but they have had basically a plague, if you will, of how they do in the SSAC tournament, how they, if they get to the national tournament, how they perform there. If they can get over the bump of getting past that first wave of game one or game two, then you're playing with house money at that point. So I look for Kerry to make a huge jump from last year to be back in contention for those top four spots in the SSAC, and not just make the postseason tournament, but possibly win a game or two. And if these guys get healthy that we're thinking about and the points keep scoring, game of basketball, Josh, if you can score 100 per game in college basketball or 90 to 100, you're going to be pretty competitive.
Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
It does.
Makes it a lot easier. And they have guys that can score it. I mean, anybody, they've got so many guys on that team that can give you 20 or 30 on any given night. So, you know, for example, the guy who they expect so much out of this year, Dylan Brumfield, who was first team all conference a year ago, averaged 18 points a game. He did not have a great weekend.
Nah,
did not shoot the ball well.
A lot too.
Struggled with foul trouble. Didn't get calls. The officials were letting him play. So there were times where he felt like he got mistreated a little bit. And he'll have to continue to battle through that. He's always going to be, because of the name he's established for himself, he is always going to be someone who is going to have a target on his back. So once he learns and once he's able to take that next step and play through that and know that going in and continues to mentally mature, that's going to be even better for this team. But the team doesn't have to have that as a point of I'm making here, Caleb. A Brumfield can be off. They still score 96. They still score 107. So, I mean, this is a team that can be scary good.
Yep. So fans, get ready to make Clinton Gym rocking this year, as luckily we were able to reverse the original decision by the SSAC to pad all the home games in December for William Carey. There will actually be a couple in January and I believe February as well. So I'm glad that finally got undone just a little bit, because that was going to be pretty awful, if I do say so, to have everything before Christmas while – golly, nobody's really thinking too much intently about basketball. Still thinking about football in other areas. So that is basketball. And finally, we can wrap it up with this. Volleyball is closing out their regular season this week. What if three games in 6 days, or matches, I should say. They've got The Monday meeting with non-conference foe Talladega, as we record here on a Sunday. We'll go ahead and pull back the curtain on that one. A Wednesday meeting on the road at Bruton Parker. And talk about jumping ship from having a home match, travel Tuesday to get there on Wednesday, play a 5 o'clock game against Bruton Parker, and then come right back home for a Saturday meeting with Loyola. Luckily, it's fall break week, so there's no classes you're having to balance. Finals are done. And so they have a little bit more relaxation between matches, and then can kind of take their road trips a little more easily, or the single road trip, I should say. So that is coming up, and the reason that Cary has that many games in such a tight span is because that game with Bruton Parker is a makeup from October 4th with all the hurricane stuff, with Hurricane Helene. And with that, we look at the standings right now, Josh, and here's the situation. Cary right now is a half game back out of second place, with Blue Mountain Christian taking that spot. Mobile is locked in at number one. They will not relinquish that spot. And what it comes down to is Blue Mountain Christian's final match of the year is against UT Southern. That's the only one they have left in conference play. More than likely going to be a win because UT Southern is one of the bottom tier teams of the league, and it's no slight to them. It's just a fact of the records. William Cary with Bruton Parker up next as far as conference play is concerned should be heavily favored in that one. Cary could improve to 8-4 to be even with Blue Mountain Christian. Even if William Cary gets the win Saturday against Loyola, they would, assumedly, if they win out, go to 9-4. Blue Mountain Christian, if they beat UT Southern, would also be 9-4. Josh, they split the regular season, but Blue Mountain Christian had a win over Mobile earlier, and Cary does not. And so with that, Blue Mountain Christian would take the 2 seed. Cary would take the 3 seed. Now, that sounds like bad news out of the gate, but at the end of the day, that puts you in the same pool. You would be playing the same teams anyway if you end up there. Now, where it gets a little hairy is if you drop the game against Loyola. Let's play the scenario real quick that Cary wins against Bruton Parker and loses to Loyola. That would mean they're 8-5, and that means Loyola would also be 8-5. And I don't believe Loyola won the previous meeting with William Cary. I could be wrong about that. Do you remember?
Cary did win. Cary did win.
Okay, so Cary won, so they split, and so then it would come down to how they played against Mobile and Blue Mountain Christian. Neither of them beat Blue Mountain Christian, which means we would have...
Cary does have a win over Blue
Mountain. Sorry. I mean, yes. Neither of them beat Mobile, so...
Yes.
It would come down to who had wins over Blue Mountain, and Cary beat Blue Mountain, but Loyola also did. So it would go down to even further stuff, and really don't have the time to try to search through all that. But all that said, Cary, Point, and Loyola are the 3, 4, and 5 teams right now. 2 and 3 will be in the same pool. 4 would put you in a pool with Mobile, as with the number 5 spot. So you kind of want to be in the number 2 and 3 slot if you're talking about pool play. And the winners out of that will come down to, let's see, day 3 will be the championship. Day 1 is all the pool play. Day 2 is, let's see, when the semifinal game happens. So you'll take the top 2 teams out of those pools, and you will get to the semifinal and then the championship the following day. I think that's how it all works. Because day 1 is 2 versus 6, 3 versus 7, 6 versus 7, 2 versus 3. So you play a couple games. Okay, so yeah, day 2, at the start, you finish up pool play because you don't want to play 3 matches in one day. And then the top 2 teams out of each pool will play one another, and then the winners go to the championship for November 16th. All right. And that'll be in Montgomery at the Crampton Bowl.
That's a lot of volleyball. I'll say this. I like Cary this week. I think they've got something to prove in that home match against Loyola. I think they're going to go take care of business in Georgia. Bruton Parker struggled this year, 3-8. We talked about that in preparation off the air for this podcast. Loyola's a team that is playing really, really well. My gosh, they're playing so much better than they did at the beginning. They scheduled really difficult, and now they're playing their best. But that game's in Hattiesburg. You'll be on the call for that. I like them. And I'm a huge – now, I'm a fan of all of our coaches and the coaching staffs at Cary. Love me some Rhonda Shirley. She has come in and has been an instant fit in the culture of winning at William Carey. She knows how to build a championship team, not only for conference championships, but to compete at the national level. She has such an international pull of players. Her and her staff do an outstanding job. And she is only in year two. Something that's only in year two. So she is still trying to get the pieces in the program that want to be pushed. We were talking a bit about this a couple of segments ago in the break, so to speak. We were talking about how certain players in 2024 don't want to be pushed like they were in the 90s or the 80s or the 70s. It's just different now. And so coaches are having to adjust. One way to adjust is to get people off the bus and get other people on the bus. She's still in the process of doing that, even now, truly finding out who wants to be on the bus. And she's got enough to be competitive this year. They're going to be ultra competitive in the years to come. The sky's the limit for that program, in my opinion, and I'm excited to see where they're going. They're good enough to win right now. Would not be shocked if they do. That is a team that is good enough to go to the tournament and win the tournament with the pieces they have right now. They're just young. They're having to push through the mental challenges of the grind, of the preparation and the training at this level, of being pushed, of having a coach that sees your potential, that cares, that is challenging you to be your best, and balancing finals and the crazy schedule with the trimesters that will go away next year with Carey moving to semesters. Factor all that in. It's going to be great in the future. It can be great right now. And so I'm predicting a 3-0 week this week, and I'm predicting the number 3 seed for Carey.
And who knows? You never know if UT Southern could have a really good outing and William Carey could take the 2. But all in all, that would not affect how Carey plays or how they're placed in the SSAC tournament. It would just be a nice little accolade.
Caleb, you're so nice. I don't see that happening.
All right.
And again, that's a UT Southern team. It's just a matchup nightmare for them. They could play really, really well. And Blue Mountain is so talented and so well coached. They could be off and still win.
Yeah.
So I think UT Southern play really well, and Blue Mountains still win.
One thing we can see, though, is the upcoming schedule for the week. So we mentioned already volleyball will be playing Talladega on Monday at 6. Men's basketball, that's why you're going to be out and about. 7:30 start, they will be playing in Hammond, Louisiana against Southeastern Louisiana. It should be fun to play a Division I team from the NCAA. Always good to get those exhibition games early on in the year. Which, by the way, I don't know if it is exhibition for us or if it is exhibition for, I would assume, for Southeastern Louisiana. Although, Carey's game against Southern Miss last year was exhibition for us, but regular season for them. So, I don't know about all that yet. Wednesday, volleyball at Bruton Parker. Also, men's and women's basketball at Talladega. And then, men's and women's cross country get started with the SSAC Conference Tournament on Friday. We look forward to hopefully visiting with the coaching staff next week to hear about how that went. Carey had a good showing last year in those events. And then wrap it up Saturday, volleyball senior day at Ben Waddle Sports Facility, where they'll take on Loyola. And at the almost same time, just a little bit later, over at Clinton Gym, you'll have William Carey with their first home game of the year, where the men's team will be taking on Louisiana Christian. That was a good road match last year. Carey did not come out on top in that one. Another one similar to Campbellsville, where officiating was questionable at best. That was, I think, the game where 40-some-odd fouls were called, Josh. I have to go back and look at that box score again. But that one was one for the record books. Hopefully, yes, we have a better showing both in officiating as well as fan support over at Clinton Gym for that first game. If our indications are anything from what we've seen so far to start off the year with two games under their belt, should be a fun Crusader team to go support, and that game on Saturday will be at 3:30. All right, Josh, to wrap it up, let's talk about Satyrs of the Week. I think it's pretty easy to select one on the men's side for soccer, as you had a guy come off the bench and get the two goals that gave the Crusaders the win to move forward into the semifinals. Billy Bogue, what a game.
Yeah, Billy Bogue, the guy who coach could see it coming. You know, Coach Farrell could see this coming. Kind of the question, we were kind of talking back and forth, Coach Farrell and I, you know, who could be a guy that could step up and help be a goal scorer? And he's like, Josh, I, you know, really think Billy could be that guy. And certainly if last Thursday was any indication, we saw that. They're going to need more of it. And looks like Jamie Wynn's going to be good to go. And they get Jamie back. They need Jordy Jukovic to provide one here and there. It's going to be a team effort. They've got the depth. They can compete with anybody. And if they can go and knock off Dalton State and get to the finals, they can win the championship in the league. And then that means a hosting possibility is still on the table. And if they can be hot going into the postseason, get hot at the right time, they can also push for a national championship.
All right. And on the women's side, I'm having a little bit of a harder time on this one, Josh. You were around for a little bit more of the women's action with soccer and women's basketball. Who do you think deserves, on the women's side, our Crusader of the Week?
I love Leah Sutton. I thought Leah Sutton was a different player on Friday. 19 points. Game was in the balance. She team was down three. They kicked the ball to her in the corner. Ice water, knocks down the three, ties the game. Carey comes back and wins on opening day. Leah Sutton was more controlled, protected the basketball. The silly fouls weren't there. She cleaned that up. She was asserting herself offensively. She hit big shot after big shot after big shot, not only from long range, but was really nice in her mid-range game from multiple spots on the floor. So for me, no doubt, Leah Sutton.
All right. So there we go. Billy Bogue and Leah Sutton, our Crusaders of the Week. Josh, have a good time calling men's basketball this week. I will be enjoying a little bit of volleyball action from the Ben Waddle facility. And we look forward to hopefully talking about some more Crusader wins on our next edition of Crusader Talk. So that'll do it for us for tonight. For Josh West and for Clayton Rush joining us earlier on the pod, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night. God bless. Go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.